Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
I've really had a fun time doing this. By the way, to go back, and it's been I've done a few messages for December over the years. I've done a few of them. And to sit down, and it's really what Linda was talking about. It's rediscovering the thrill of hope. The thrill of hope when you read these words. There's something, this thing is, it's energetic. It's alive. It's not dead. And you need to do that and let it touch you right now. By the way, this message, re-giving is requested. With these messages, re-giving is requested. Every one of you found something, or you do have something in the closet that if Aunt so-and-so shows up, you run to that closet and you go, I hope she likes those little soaps. And you stick that little thing on top of it. The re-giving going on. Well, this it is required that you re-give this message. As you walk out and you're dispensing hope right now. So let's stand to our feet. Let's make the affirmation together. We hold it up and we say it loud. Somebody said, why is the word still up here? It's going to be up here until further notice. Because when you see this, this is to remind you, this is how big the word should be in your heart and in your life. And especially in this season. Say it with me together. Hold them up high. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. You look good. You sound good. Oh, yeah. I got to admit, though, season is quite busy for all of us, isn't it? At times, it can be a little overwhelming. You get in the middle of that. I was very, very upset with some of the traffic thing that I've been caught in a few times over the last week or so. And then I remind myself, they're looking for their loved ones, too, at the same time. They're out trying to buy something. Somebody said, guys, there's four stages of a man's life. First, you believe in Santa. Second, you don't believe in Santa. Number three, you are Santa. Number four, you look like Santa. Hey, by the way, I love the little kid riddles. What did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. I love those kiddie riddles. The big stirring question right now that we've asked ourselves over the last few years, I know in my house, what if there were three wise women instead of three wise men? You ready? Number one, they would have asked for directions. Number two, they would have arrived on time. Yeah. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have brought practical gifts. They'd have cleaned up the stable. One of them would have made a casserole, and there would be peace on earth. But we are here to celebrate. It's during this time, too, you're seeing a lot of commercials about mental health and people going through different things right now. Those struggles are very, very real. I'm not going to get into the weeds on this, but there are a lot of people that struggle. And it's important that you are cognizant, you love them and encourage them. You speak a good word and dispense words of hope, as Linda was challenging you a little bit earlier. And when you get hope, there's something that will thrill you and bring you up just a little bit. We're here to celebrate, but not everyone is happy right now. Some don't like this time because maybe it makes them feel alone. But the very purpose and the heavenly meaning of Christmas would defy tormenting thoughts that come to people that are sad and feel alone. The very message goes against that feeling. That was the purpose of it. Of course, you know, our old friend Charlie Brown, he struggled with self-image all of his life. He struggled so much. Charlie Brown, once he was struggling with Christmas, he said, well, I didn't get a Christmas card again this year. I know nobody likes me. And I don't know why we have to have a holiday to emphasize it, he said. That's Charlie Brown right there. A lot of wisdom in that little fella. Sometimes, though, we feel like it's being emphasized, just, you know, and you don't just feel too joyful. That's humans. That happens right there. But you know, one thing I found out, if I'm going to be joyful, I can't depend on an outward situation. You know, David, you talk about somebody up and down all the time. And maybe we'll do a whole message on this one day. The word said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David spoke to himself. That's why I was encouraging you about praise and worship. When you start feeling things and you step over those things and open your mouth and begin to sing those songs, those psalms, those hymns, those spiritual songs, those psalms that we read in the book. Maybe sometimes even read them out loud. Some of you need to get the Bible on an iPod or whatever, how you listen to something like that. You need to be playing that in your house. You need to be playing that. You need to be filling your house with these things to step over those things when you're tempted to feel like Charlie Brown. And we celebrate because there is an anticipation. In fact, we're here to celebrate what we call the Advent. Advent means coming. That means an anticipation. Yes, the Lord has come, but it also means there will be another Advent. So stir your spirit on that, because I tell you this, he is coming again. To me, my favorite, and I've probably used this quote more than any quote over the last 20 years, especially on a weekend just like this, in putting it into perspective of why we celebrate today. Why do we celebrate? C.S. Lewis said it this way: the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's my favorite quote. I love that. That tells the whole story right there. I'm seeing cell phones come out. I'll slow down for you so you can grab some of those. Some of you like those and you post them on your, cut me out of it, you know, and get the shot when you frame it on your Facebook. And that, nothing wrong with the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. I think this is the quote. I think this tells the story that creates the thrill of hope right today. The real title for my message has not been our graphic, is not actually what we've announced, but the real title, though, of my message that keeps a hope alive inside of me right now, the real story of this message today is called Emmanuel, God is still with us. God is still. Elbow somebody and say, God is still, and emphasize still with us. This is the root of our hope. Linda didn't know what my notes said, but the root of hope is on the top of my notes right now. And the root of our hope is the knowledge that God's appearing comes to us as it did even in those awful trying times. It comes in the middle of the troubles then. He came in the middle of troubles now, and he will. It's not just consolation words to cool you down, but it is a real true fact. And here, she had no idea what I had written on my, this was written in all caps, but his presence is truly with us and in us today. I did the Matthew account a few weeks ago. You remember how we after the begats and we read all of that, and then in verse 21 of Matthew 1, where it first says, and Matthew laid it out and said, and this is how Jesus was born. I mean, how more clear can you do that? He said, and this is how it happened. This was it. And then remember, I'm going to repeat two verses there. Verse 21 to 23, and she will have a son. Now, when did this happen? This was when Joseph, who was a really, really good man, a godly man, a good man, but he knows what's going to happen. He knows how folk talk. He knows everything that's going to happen, and he's concerned for Mary and what's going to happen, and he's figuring out a nice way to leave a nice note and leave town. But yet the angel comes and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Again, an angel shows up in your room. What's the first thing you always say? Don't be afraid. But I'm afraid. And he says, hang on. He says, she will have a son. And you. Now, notice this. This was in keeping with the tradition that it was the father who named the child. Remember the story? Remember the story when John the Baptist was born and the word comes, sir, if you want to open your mouth and talk, you're going to call his name what? John. And so he said, and you are to name him Jesus. Verse 22, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. right there, you can stop and you could go find it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, nearly 700 years before. 700 years before. And here's what the prophet said in verse 23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. And notice this now. He names him out of the, and then the idea that this is a gift for everyone. And he says, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's an important little thing here. Don't let it fly by you too quick. It's one thing for Joseph to call him Jesus. It's another thing for a Bible to call him Jesus. It's another thing for a historic story or a movie to call him Jesus. But it brings it into a personal thing when you name him, when you call him Jesus. It's not ownership. It is belonging. It's giving. And they will call him Emmanuel. What he's really saying, it's going to be okay. Because this child I'm talking about, will be with you, Joseph, forever. I really thought of a good idea for a message. Maybe I'll do it some other time. Maybe I'll work on it. Really what he's saying, it's going to be okay because this child is going to be with you forever. In other words, I wrote it this way. Take comfort. And take cover, Joseph. Take comfort and take cover, Joseph. He's coming. Daunting days were ahead for Joseph. Then, and daunting days are ahead for us now. Into a world of turmoil. That's kind of the way he shows up, isn't it? Into a world, it's not too perfect. It was a mess. The threats were going on. It was awful. Much worse than even it is today anywhere. And I see that's escalating a little bit more in our world today. But because of this expecting, this advent, this expectation of coming, even in the midst of that, there can be excitement. Excitement in the air, excitement in us forever. Because not only was there that one advent, but there's another advent where he's coming for all of us. So that's the character of our Emmanuel. If we can grab, and she had no clue the lines I had written this thing. I'm going to read the exact writing I have here. If we can grab the concept of God with us, if we can grab the concept of God with us, we are never alone. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to finish making my case that I started a few weeks ago. When the prophet said, out of the prompting of God, when the prophet said, God with us, he meant it. Brad Johnson has a nice quote. He said, Christmas means God came near. He's close enough to hear you. And he's close enough to help you. God with us, revealed in us. And 4 weeks ago, I gave you what I thought you've probably never heard using in a Christmas concept. I told you what I think is probably one of the best pronouncements of God with us, right in the middle of the scripture where David made that statement in verse 4 of Psalm 23. I read it 4 weeks ago. I read the whole Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's turmoil, y'all. I will not be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. I'll read it again, what I wrote up there. If we can grab the concept of God with us, we'll never be alone. And we will make it. And we will make it until that next advent comes. You are with me. The New Living Translation says, because you are close beside me. God with us. But the title of today's message is not that. The real title is God is still with us. God is still with us. If I read this correctly, forget what the movie says. I'm never home alone because he's with me. He always had. By the way, it's always been that even before Joseph had his visit. Okay, it's always been that way. He's just framing it and bringing it into a new covenant concept. But that's always been the case. The reality of God with us, the reality of the God with us history, let me say, between man and God. The reality of that between man and God has always been when you're dealing with God, the way he looks at the creation. Deuteronomy 31, before those five books of law that Moses wrote are closing and the speeches and the final words are going on. And in verse number 6 of chapter 31, he said, be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before him. That's probably the first time it was ever said, don't let him see you sweat. But a lot of folk are sweating right now. He said, do not be afraid. Do not panic. Why? Why? I told the concept of God with us did not start with the vision that Joseph received. He said, out of the mouth of Moses, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. You will neither fail, nor will he abandon you. This is God's feelings about our covenant kids. Well, and then it goes on. It goes on. And he says something, I think, in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. You're going to lead these people. Then in verse 8, he says it again. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. Now, notice this statement here. And I wrote this line in all caps in my notes. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. A lot of people feel abandoned today. But if we get the concept of God with us and God in us, or God still in us. Just going to give you some references. Turn the page. You're in the first chapter of Joshua. And Joshua, what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to repeat what God said. Turn that page, verse 5 in Joshua. Verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 5, it says right there, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you nor abandon you. God's serious about that. What does that simply mean? God is with us. That it didn't start with Joseph. It didn't start in Matthew. It didn't start in Luke. Fast forward right now. In Matthew 28, verse 30, near the end, Jesus is getting ready to go. He said, teach these new disciples to obey my commands I've given you, and be sure of this. He says this right here. I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. God with us has always been the message. And God is still with it. It is still the message today. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 13, I'm hitting these things to let you know this thread is through the whole book. It's through the whole book. It's not just a verse on a Christmas card. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the word is coming in, do not love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, he said, I will never fail you, nor will I abandon you. A lot needs to be said about the sense of abandonment of what people feel right now. I have a problem with people who have abandoned families and children and things like that. I think God's got a special reward for people who have abandoned a lady and abandoned children and who've abandoned situations and even a lady who, and it goes both ways these days right now, and they abandon their family. I think that is a crime right there. But do know that throughout the scripture of the Word of God, it says to you today, the Christmas message is 365, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you, it says here. So in return, I've got to work it. I got to celebrate it. I got to serve it. I got to walk it. And don't get weary. We get weary in the little things we got to do. They're running around. It wears you out right now. Somebody said, I'm at the point in my life right now. Well, after I wrap a few presents, I need to put some heat on my back. Another person said, dear Santa, under my tree tomorrow, I'd like to see a new back and two new knees. If you could do that for me. I wish you could do that right now. But we get so overwhelmed with everything. But don't grow weary with the celebrating of it. So you need to slow down on some of the, and by the way, some of the pageantry gets a little way out there sometimes. Some of you have families and all kind of things. It gets kind of nuts, and you have to kind of rein it in just a little bit because you can only take so much for so long, or you're going to need to go lay down. But each morning, if you could grab this message in January, if you could grab it in February, grab it in March. There's no more decorations out front. They're all gone. If each morning, every day, you could walk in the expectation, man, I got a big day ahead of me, but God is with me. God is still with me. By the way, that still thing, you need to do that with a little attitude when you get tormented. Shut up, devil. God is still with me. Na, 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 na. Back off. God is still with me. This thread runs through the whole scriptures. In 1 Samuel, it tells about our guy David, who was always up and down. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14. Notice this statement. It said, David continued to succeed in everything he did. Why? Tell me why. What does it say? For the Lord was with him. Isn't that cool? Now, David, when this was said, still had a bunch of difficulty ahead. He had some turmoil. He had some things that you just wouldn't believe. But David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. I love this testimony. You know what this is? This is the Christmas testimony before Christmas happened. It's the tangible embodiment of his very name. God is still with us. And to us, it really means Merry Christmas. We have something to celebrate and rejoice. It really means that God is with us from here on. We're never alone. Let me add a little more color. I'm nailing this thing like a lawyer right now. I'm making my case. I'm doing it. First, what I did, I gave you the word, the one side of Matthew's account. You haven't seen this account since I've had these 4 weeks. This is from Luke, and I'm just going to hit some hot spots right now. And you look in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And by the way, this is more about that great man, Joseph, by the way. Joseph, I think one of the things I miss the most is I want to know more about him. He must have been some kind of guy. He must, and he didn't leave. You know, they had more sons, and they had even had a daughter, it tells us. And this guy, he hit the ground running. But more about that man. And notice in chapter 2, verse 4 of Luke's account now, this is adding color to it. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David. Stop right there. Joseph, this tells you that Joseph was in the covenant line. Even the guy who wasn't his real father, who was going to be the stand-in to teach him, he was a covenant man. They didn't go out the covenant to get the man that was going to be the overseer for raising that young man and influencing him and putting good things in him. This was a covenant man. He was a descendant of King David. And it said he had to go to Bethlehem, we'll come back to that, in Judea, which was David's ancient home. God is never off. God never misses. The horrible tragedy of the king going insane and trying to kill babies and trying to do and make the full count there, the census, so to speak. But it was really, really, it was a power grab. It was something of intimidation of that. But the very thing that was so awful that drove him brought Joseph back to his hometown. And it could have happened anywhere along the road, but he comes back to his hometown. He came to his town, David's hometown, which was named Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Bethlehem meant house of bread. I told you, God doesn't miss a trick. God doesn't miss a trick. Because about 30 years later, to remind us that Bethlehem was not an accident, Jesus even referred to himself in John 6, where he said, "I am the bread of life." Now, I really got jazzed when I read that. Some of you, and you're looking at me like, I got a turkey on. I got to get it. The house of bread. David's home. Whatever David did, he succeeded because God was with him. And in his line before that was Joshua. In his line before that was Moses, Abraham. Oh, wow. I am the bread of life. Picking up at the last part of verse 4, it says, he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, but she was now expecting a child. And I love this statement here in verse number 6. And while they were there, the time came. Time always comes. There came a time. Grammy-to-be is on the front row waiting for a phone call that says, the time came. Doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. The time came while they were there. The obedience of Joseph to get them there honors me today. It touches me today. What did he and what she had to live through to get her there? She wasn't on an interstate highway. It was rough. But they got there. You want to get there? Start walking in what God wants you to do. Start moving. Keep the word growing in you. Keep playing it in your ears. Oh, get there, because when you get there, the time's going to come. The time came for her baby to be born. She gave her firstborn son. She had other sons. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, also as prophesied. Also as prophesied, and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Perhaps that might have been an area where there might have been a little bit of discussion going on. I don't know about you, but my father was notorious for not calling ahead while we were on the road. I remember seated in the car late at night. We've been traveling all day, walking in and out of the hotel. Nope, there's no room there. Always was in sweet fellowship when that happened, and you got two crying maniacs in the back seat, and you, can you imagine what that's like? Is, I mean, maybe if you'd have called ahead, maybe if you'd have done that, we could have found a place. One writer said, did Joseph get it right? The innkeeper leads Mary and Joseph back to the stable, and Joseph said, this should work fine. The innkeeper would just let me know if you need anything else. Then Mary whispered to Joseph and said, I meant for you to go in there and ask if there was a manager available. Whatever. God orchestrated all of it. Manger or manager, God did it. Verse 8, and that night there were shepherds. I like Luke's account. It's fun. There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock of sheep. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded all around them. They were terrified. But guess what the angel said? Don't be afraid. Here we go again. The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. And this good news is going to bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, again, covenant connection in the city of David. Bread's there. Bread is there in the city of David. And you will recognize him. Stop right there. They've never seen this baby before. But if you are walking in his word, if you believe, you will know him when you see him. You'll know the sound when you hear it. You'll know these things. He said, you will know him. You will recognize him. You will know him by this sign. I don't know what. Well, follow the signs. Follow the signs. Follow the signs. And you will find. Jesus in Matthew 7, seek. and you shall find. He said, you go there, the one you're seeking, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. They'd heard those words over and over. And suddenly, all of a sudden, boom, there's louder noise. And they're all around him right now. The angel was joined by a vast host of others. Notice this statement. The armies of heaven. How many times when we went through the Old Testament scriptures, especially going through the stories in the first five books of the scripture, where if you really wanted to show how much power you got behind you, you said it was the Lord of heaven's armies, the King of kings. He's the Lord. And that is what the word says. The armies of heaven, the armies of heaven praising God. The Lord of heaven's armies were praising, and they said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those to whom with whom God is pleased. Here's what I get from this. At each moment of this story, the truth was validated. What truth? The truth that God was with them. It just got more, it turned into technicolor when Jesus made his first little cry. The whole first part of this story about hanging on to God with us and the prophecies of it and saying and reading all about David and Joshua and Moses and Daniel and all the other people in that. That's the first half of the Wizard of Oz. It's in black and white. But boy, when they walked to that manger scene and they heard that first little cry, it is in color. It's in color. We can see. It's here. It's vivid. At each moment, the truth was validated. So as I land pretty soon, for each of you, for us together, the present I give you is the thought, we're never alone. He is still with us. But each of us must name His name. And when we say that, that's our Lord. That's ours. We're giving our allegiance, who we are, what we really believe in. We must name His name. So lift up your countenance. Some of you that might have a tendency to just be sad at everything. You might have reason to be sad in the natural. That's very real. You know, there's nothing worse when you're really having something really, some super Christian flies and, oh, snap out of it, it's not bad. And you're just dying on the inside. And you need somebody to say, I understand those things. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmity. But at the very same time, he says, let the thought supersede that pain and that fear that I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. It's from the book of Matthew. Be encouraged. And maybe it's not the loud thing. Maybe it needs to start with the baby sound. Louis Giglio said this great quote. He said, a little voice inside may be telling you God doesn't care about you. But the little baby's cry is today telling you He does. The little cry is He does. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'm still with you now and forever. Think of that. In midst of the clamor, have your ear tuned to that sound. I've spent this month and you'll notice for 4 weeks in a row, I've touched a song. We started with, He's always had the whole world in His hands. After that, I said, let's tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Last week, His love came reaching and searching for me. Today we say His name is called Emmanuel. Here's what I'll tell you about the 4 weeks of these messages. This is not just a December 24th message. It is a forever promise, and it is a forever reality. That's what this message is about. It is a forever promise, and it is a forever reality in our hearts and our lives. Actually, what we're celebrating here at Christmas is not one story. We are celebrating two miracles in one. Not only the miracle of the birth, the historic aspect of it, but the second miracle is that it lifts off the page and it is alive in each of us. The miracle of God with us, okay? The miracle of God with us, meaning he's eternal. He was Almighty God coming in a tiny, helpless baby. That was the great wonder of Christmas. That was. But the miracle of Christ in us, meaning his love, his grace, his power, his comfort, his joy and peace, is now the great wonder of each and every moment until the next appearing, the next advent happens, until you hear the sound of a trumpet. So as we walk out this morning, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle, maybe the screaming, maybe the noise, maybe standing back, or maybe it'd be very quiet. It might be very, very quiet, and that's okay too, because you're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. Let me flip that thing so you can understand a little bit more. How many of you have been in a great group, a clamor, a crowd, and you felt you were totally alone? Okay, you were not alone. Look around you. But there was something inside of you. That's why inside of us, you must remind yourself, God is still with us. And whether the outside trappings have nothing to do with it. But I pray you have a blessed time. I pray you rejoice, because I give you this word. God is still with us. And I get to be the first to say today, Merry Christmas, y'all.